Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
We enter the fourth quarter, if not, you've already surpassed them. And speaking of the fourth quarter, and my Rhino of the day is the green, little green plastic Rhino, green being the color of my formerly beloved and still, I'm sure, miserable New York Jets, who, it's my first Sunday of absolutely just being so disappointed and fed up with the nonsense going on with the NFL and its coaches and its team owners, and especially its players that are just, I mean, the players, I can't really fault them because they're kids and they don't really know what they're doing. But the team owners and the leadership of the NFL, so weak and so ridiculous. I mean, that I am among many, many people. I don't know if it's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans that were loyal fans of the NFL, or at least one of its teams, that are just finding it difficult, if not impossible, like in my case, to root for them these days. However, today I am wearing my Arizona Diamondbacks logo on the American flag with a baseball bat shirt. Tough to see a baseball bat there. We're frozen up. And we were frozen up there. There it is. Anyway, I got this on July 4th at the Arizona Diamondbacks game, and it made me think, like, man, it's such a good thing that the NFL is not playing on July 4th, because how disgracefully embarrassing would that be for the country? So, you know, I've talked about this before, and I'll get off the soapbox and go back to figuring out what to do with my fall Sundays now. I mean, for my entire life, basically over half a century here, I have fall Sundays. I've been watching the pregame shows and setting up my fantasy football team lineups. That's only for the past 30 years or so, a little over 30 years. I mean, I've been such a sports fan my whole life. My father always had season tickets to the New York Jets games, so we went every Sunday and had season tickets to the Knicks games and the Rangers games, and basketball and hockey, and I went to a lot of New York Mets games. I mean, just sports been a big part of my life, and then I even went to law school with the thought of becoming a sports attorney of some kind. And then in my final year at law school, I turned my hobby into what became the largest fantasy sports game company in the world. And so sports has always been such a big part of my life, and I've always rapidly followed it. And yet, I saw on the news this morning, and we watched the game Thursday night because my beautiful wife Michelle is a fan of the Green Bay Packers, and every player stood up, although this whole standing with the arms interlocked nonsense is one form of just disrespecting the flag, period. I mean, put your hand over your heart. That's the way it goes. Like, so some of the players were like interlocking arms and still putting their arm over their heart, and other ones were very clearly not putting their arms over their heart. But then, you know, I was okay with that. But then today, this morning, I saw some clip on the news of the game that, I mean, how embarrassing is it? They're playing in another country, because they've decided to, the NFL made a move to, you know, globalize itself like the NBA so successfully has done over the last couple of decades. The NFL has tried to duplicate that, not doing a great job. And then today and last Sunday, certainly doing a lot of harm by sending players over there who are disrespecting the flag, kneeling down during the American national anthem and standing up during the foreign country's national anthem. I mean, it so makes no sense that, you know, the kids don't know what they're doing, and they're listening to all the wrong influences. And what really pains me, I've always been such a huge advocate of civil rights and the civil rights movement. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up in the 60s, it was a big deal. And now, in the past decade or so, it's come back again, and it's like craziness again. But I remember growing up in the 60s, where you had Martin Luther King, you had Malcolm X, you had the Black Panthers, so you had different levels of different beliefs in how to affect the change, how to get the point across to America that the ugliness of the separate but equal and the ridiculous, you know, sit in the back of the bus and drink from a different fountain and you can't stay in this hotel and all that crap with the racism, like, has to go. And Martin Luther King, who grew up in a kind of a really, you know, comfortable neighborhood and a comfortable family and a middle class, everything was fine, was the taking the high road and the peaceful. And, you know, he was always, every time he was marching or whatever, he had the American flags, of course. But then you had Malcolm X, who grew up with, you know, being attacked by the KKK and his home burnt down by him. And, you know, his dad, as the story goes, killed by a white mob, anti-black mob. Like, you know, guy grew up, understandably, incredibly angry and did not, like, you know, he also became a minister, like Dr. King, but he didn't, like, go to a nice college and do all that. He got into some trouble and got arrested and just got into gangs and things like that. But so he was a little more militant, angry approach to the change. And then there were the Black Panthers, who were violently, their violent approach to the change. So, you know, change happened. I mean, civil rights laws were passed and schools were segregated schools were integrated and, you know, obviously, it's still a long way to go, so the change totally wasn't made. I mean, it's not like news that I'm saying this stuff, but you know, how can anyone say which method affected the most change? Was a little of each. But I got to tell you this. I saw this clip this morning on the news of this another game over in England, and sure, a few players sat down for that. I mean, that's just pure outright stupidity and disgusting. But it was just equally bad with the guy standing who, you know, as they scan down the row of the players standing, but they're begrudgingly standing like, oh, it's so difficult to have respect for my own country. Like, is it that difficult? Is it that difficult? I mean, has anyone ever been in the 200 and however many years history of this country been under any misconception that everything is perfect and this is just spectacular and everything's great and nothing needs to change? And there's nothing wrong. Like, there always has been, there always will, with every person in our personal lives, in our businesses, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, in our country, I mean, the world. That's just the way it is. There's always going to be things wrong that need to be changed. That doesn't mean you disrespect. So, for instance, you don't sit there with your own family, if there's discord in the family, and they say, hey, let's all, you know, gather together for Thanksgiving. You don't sit there and go, I refuse to eat at the Thanksgiving table with the rest of my family because I'm protesting how, you know, there's problems in the family. You know, like, we got the drunk uncle and the problem over there, and I don't like this person's husband that they're marrying and is beating them and whatever the problems are. Do you go sit in the corner or not show up? Hey, I'm not going to show up for Thanksgiving because I'm protesting the family. That's just outrageous. Or I'm going to sit in the corner over here, or I'm going to pout, or while you're all saying grace, I'm going to, you know, have nasty looks on my face and be miserable about it. I mean, that's how it was during the national anthem. They scan down, and these players are like, you know, their head in their face, like they're so ashamed, or they're looking down, or they got the angriest looks on their faces as if, you know, these are football players. So, of course, their job is to be angry, is to inflict violence. It's a violent game. But the national anthem has always been like, you stand at attention, you face the flag, you put your hand over your heart, and some of the players, to their benefit, I saw some of the players are mouthing the word and singing along. You don't have to go that far. But, I mean, it's so painful to salute your own country, your own flag, especially when you're being an ambassador overseas and you're supposedly carrying forth America to overseas, and then you're showing how disrespectful you are, compounded by the fact that then you stand up for the foreign countries. I mean, a foreign country's got to be thinking. I mean, I love these anti-Trumpers that think, like, oh, Trump's so embarrassing. The world is watching, and Trump's embarrassing. Not even one bazillionth, as embarrassing as he is, it's not one bazillionth as embarrassing as these football players are when they go out of the country and they refuse to have respect for their own country. I mean, give me an unbelievable break. So I'm like, you know, I can't keep track of it. I'm not going to sit here and think who's sitting down and who's standing up and who's got an ugly look on their face like this is the most miserable thing. They're making me stand up. Because the leagues have rules. You know, the NBA now comes out and says you have to stand up. The NBA is even more overwhelmingly black than the NFL. The NFL is supposedly like 70% black or whatever, and the NBA must be 90% or whatever. So, you know, you think there's problems now in the NFL, watch what happens to the NBA. The difference is the NFL football is the number one most watched, biggest money-making sport there is, and the NBA has always been much more minor compared to that, even third behind baseball. So won't be as big a deal, and it wasn't as big a deal when there's an NBA strike as when there's a football strike. You know, football is like a big deal in America, and it is a big deal to me. I love all the sports, not all of them, but I watch a lot of sports. I cannot bring myself to root for these players because I don't want to keep track of in my mind. I'm like, I can't root for that guy. Hey, I know it's irrational, it's crazy to me, but I'm like, I've been a loyal Jets fan. Players come and go, coaches come and go, team owners come and go for my entire life, over 50 years rooting for the team. Once they won the Super Bowl, a couple other team times they were close when I was a child, and then recently, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, they make the playoffs again, and they're doing okay, and they've made it a few times, but they've really never been like a dominant, great team. They've been pretty much a miserably crappy team, and yet I've still been loyal. So I haven't been like, oh, the Jets are crappy, there's a lot of problems, therefore I'm going to disrespect them. Therefore, I'm not going to watch them. Therefore, I'm not going to wear Jets shirts anymore. But I've never done that. I don't believe in it. I believe in loyalty. I believe in respect to the overall bigger picture. Then, you know, anyone has a problem with the current president. There's a lot of problems with the current president. Geez, you need me to tell you that? Like, but it's so painful to see the lemmings that every time Trump says or does something stupid, the lemmings have to respond with the, you know, oh, now I have to respond like an idiot. You know, just because Trump is being an idiot, like, now it triggers you to acting like an idiot in response. So entertainers say stupid things, and now athletes are saying and doing stupid things, and other politicians, and the news media, you know, whether they're ultra for Trump or ultra against Trump, they twist themselves into pretzels to make everything he does bad or to make everything he does good or whatever. Really? I mean, you're letting this guy have that much effect on your psyche? Like, whatever. Like, president's going to come and go. They have a whole life. They're going to continue. Like, policies come and go. Like, I'm not going to disrespect my own country, my own fundamental beliefs, what I believe in, because of any one person saying or doing a stupid thing, no matter what office they hold or whatever. So just really weak of the NFL to not enforce their own rule and get this all started with Colin Kaepernick, who didn't even start protesting, of course, because he was against Black Lives Matter things or anti-cop racial violence. He was just pouting on the bench because he got benched. But then, you know, his girlfriend or somebody, or I forget the story, was like, hey, you know, make something out of this. Don't just sit on the bench like Neil and protest something. And it became something. But, like, you know, that he was totally wrong and needed to be stopped. The NFL didn't stop it. A few more players do it. Now Trump comes out in this typical Trump-in way and elevates it to a ridiculous thing. But now, are we seeing the real players' attitudes come through? Again, I give them a break. Like, they're kids. I mean, when I was a 22, 25-year-old kid, I did a lot of stupid things. And I'm considered a fairly bright person. I have a, you know, law school degree. So I have a master's degree. Did you know any football players in high school growing up or in college? Like, yeah, they went to classes because they had to. But they knew why we're there. They were there to play football. And you know, they weren't known exactly to be the sharpest tacks in the deck, and they weren't taking all the high-level political courses. And when I excuse all of them for their ignorance of what they're really doing. But how are the team owners allowing this? How is the league allowing this? It is alienating at least some of the fans. I'm not the only one. Some of the advertisers. You know, we canceled our DirecTV and paying $300 a year to DirecTV to watch my beloved Jets and for my beautiful wife Michelle to watch her beloved Packers, since we live in neither one of those cities and want to make sure to watch those two games a week. Now the Packers are good, so they're on Thursday night, Monday night, Tuesday, whatever the hell nights and prime times and late afternoon, and they're on national TV a lot. Good. The Jets, they're so terrible, they'll never be on. I just won't watch them. don't know if I ever will again. Some part of me is hoping, you know, I'm not one of these. I'm not going to burning out. I'm looking around here. I got the Jets stuff all over the place. I'm not burning my stuff yet. I'm hoping that things change. But part of me is thinking that no matter what rules they make up, these players fundamentally, I mean, that clip I just saw this morning, and I don't know what happened in the games today, because again, I'm paying no attention to it. I refuse. But just that clip I saw this morning, hoping that something would change, but no, it changed and it got even worse. I mean, they're standing up with their hand in their face, or the misery, or they're looking down, or they're, you know, angry about the whole thing, about the, wow, I'm so sorry that you're so angry about a country that allows you to come from the absolute destitute, worst poverty-ridden neighborhoods and cities in the world, and rise up to be a multi-millionaire and play a game for a living and get paid because you wear a certain pair of shoes and a certain type of shirt and have a certain type of logo. And I'm so sorry that it's so oppressive and miserable for you that that opportunity is so terrible. Are there terrible things in the country? Sure. But is it overall, does that mean you disrespect the country, or because you don't like what the president said, you disrespect the whole country? I mean, and yourself? The whole thing. It's outrageous. I'm done. As you can tell, I'm not in a great mood today because I would like to have my hobby that I've had my whole life, and I just can't bring myself to do it. I can't root for these guys that are in such pain to be an American, and I can't keep track of who's who, and so I did not even, you know, I still play, even though I don't no longer own the largest fantasy sports game company in the world. I still play in fantasy sports games. I don't even look at my teams, set my lineups. Who knows who's playing, who's hurt, is whatever. I can't pay any attention to it. Can't pay attention to the players, the games, or the whatever. Can't, I just can't bring myself. And so it's kind of a painful day for me. I'll get over it. You know, but I realize, like, how soon will I get over it? As soon as I decide, of course. Let's see how long it takes me to grieve here. In the back of my mind, I keep thinking I'll come back, but then I'm thinking, nah, probably not. And so there's plenty of other things to do. And, you know, it reminded me that I've been invited to, like, play golf on Sundays. And a couple of times I remember playing golf on a Sunday morning. And, like, after finishing up at around, you know, here in the West Coast time, 3-hour difference, the game started at 10 a.m. So we play at 6, and we're getting done around 10. And they're like, hey, you want to go have something to eat after? And I'm like, yeah, no, I want to run home and watch my beloved Jets on TV. And I'm like, wow, how silly. Now I'm looking at, like, they were looking at me, like, who cares? You know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's what I like to do. And so why can't I play golf and watch my team? I can do both. But then I gave up the social aspects of the playing golf, having something after the 19th hole, as they call it. So no more of that. You know, I'm going to be playing golf and hanging out by the pool we're doing today. And, you know, I'll find something else to do. And life will and already has gone on for me. And that's it. I see nobody else is here. So hopefully that means everybody is out there with something better to do than sit here on Facebook and watch me do a video by enjoying your Sunday fun day. This is the longest Sunday video I've ever shot. Usually I check in for a minute or so, but I just felt the need to vent. And thank you for being my my remote technological psychiatrist for the day, even if you're not watching. And I'll be back tomorrow with Direct Mail Monday. Over and out.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.